This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Pai Luis Inchpesek. Chris, how are you?
I am wonderful, Jano. How are you? Glad to be here.
I am doing great, my friend. And we got Brian, our producer, back there putting everything together. Thank you, Brian, for another great job I'm sure you're going to do. That's me putting
that's
him
it.
On the spot.
Right on early on.
Chris, I was this week they had the chess tournament in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And Levon Aroyan was there, and Kasparov was there. And man, I tell you, you go in there, you think you're just going to be standing around. It was like I was in another room.
Yeah.
They're in the glass. You're watching them through. It's like
serious.
Yeah. Wow. It's very serious stuff, man. And it was called like the rapid chess tournament. So this is like they're going fast.
Cool. I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah. It was very cool. And I mean, there was media all over. I was like, man, if I could just talk to him. But there were just so many people around. I would love to have him on my show.
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine?
Yeah. Well, our very own Levon Aroyan, he was in our St. Louis city, ended up winning the rapid chess tournament.
Wow.
By the way, that's unbelievable. Armenian Grandmaster scored 12 points to secure first place, and the last match was with the Cuban Linar Dominguez. That's it, and he took him down. Armenia.
That's big.
Armenia.
It's a big win.
Took the day there.
Here on our turf.
Well, it definitely was on our turf, and Armenia represented well again. Yeah. I think we represent well everywhere we go. So we took first place, and he had 12 points. Yeah, it's amazing, too, when one person wins, it's all of a sudden we.
We.
We did it.
The royal we.
We did it. But something I'm not very happy about this. You Armenians out there, I'm a little mad at you on this. The news.am took a poll on which soccer team do Armenians like to watch, and 91,828 voted. Who's your number one team that you think that Armenians watched?
Whoa. It's in the world?
Yeah, it's Man U. It's
is it really?
Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Oh, Mkhitaryan, that makes sense.
That's what you would think.
Yeah.
No, it was Barcelona at 33.6%, followed by Real Madrid at 21.4%, and then Manchester United at 17.9%.
Why Barcelona, though? What's
what the hell?
Yeah, what's going on
there? I don't understand that, Chris. Huh. Armenians,
need to look this
we
up.
Have an Armenian named Henrik Mkhitaryan, the Armenian god soccer player. And you're telling me that you rather watch Barcelona? You rather watch Messi. Okay, you rather watch Messi and you rather watch Cristiano Ronaldo over Henrik Mkhitaryan. No chance in hell. No chance in hell here, babe. I'm
crazy.
All about Henrik Mkhitaryan. God bless. And that Manchester United team's looking pretty damn good there. I mean, they're looking good this year. They're poised and ready. I've seen them, Chris, and they just look a lot bigger.
Yeah.
A lot bigger. You got all these big players, and then you got Mkhitaryan out there, like a little yo-yo flying around there.
He's incredible.
It's a perfect setup.
Yeah.
It's a perfect setup. And, hey, get out there and vote some more on news.am here and change this thing around. Barcelona should not be number one. Man U should be number one.
I spilled my guts
on that one. You know, that's something, you know. In Glendale, I'm proud of these Armenians.
Yeah.
In Glendale, Armenians made a big stand here, and they took an ad. There was this ad that was at Americana, that mall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was an ad called Architects of Denial.
Okay.
And Americana said, this is way too political. We need to take this ad down immediately. And they took it down. Well, but you know what? That's going to offend over like 100,000 Glendale Armenians there.
Armenians.
Just that.
The wrong
just
place
that,
to do
yeah,
it. Yeah,
the wrong place. And yeah. Your councilmen are all Armenian. Yeah. I mean, this didn't go too well. And they mentioned the word boycott.
Oh.
As soon as boycott, you know what?
Maybe that is okay.
That is okay. Let's bring it back. You know what, though, Chris? It's amazing that when you have that much influence, whatever it is, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is. And we've been on the back end of this, too, with Turkey, with NATO, and all that. So, you know, now it's... it's our home turf.
Yeah, that is, that really is.
That's our home turf there. God bless you guys in Glendale. And that's Glendale, not Arizona, but California.
California.
Yeah. I don't even think they know Arizona.
No.
Glendale.
Stick to the real Glendale.
Yeah, really, really. Wine production in Armenia is up 30%. 30%. Wow. People are kicking back and enjoying good wine. How about that?
That's great.
I think something has to do with maybe our gal, Victoria.
Absolutely. Huge influencer.
Honestly, let me ask you, when you kick back, wine is, it really relaxes the atmosphere, doesn't it? It really relaxes the person and kick back, watching the mountains and stuff. It's such a beautiful place in Armenia. If you guys are out there right now, hey, by the way, I got to tell you this after I get done with that. If you're out there, man, it's so, they'll be kicking back, watching a soccer game outside, and there'll be people sitting on like hills on little mounds and with their glass of wine and stuff. It's beautiful.
That's incredible.
By the way, this is what I was going to say. I think I'm headed to Armenia in November.
How cool.
With the Lineup Media boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because, he wanted to take me for my birthday. He said, wherever you want to go, me and you will go. Take it. Just pick a place. At first it was like, you know what, maybe it's Argentina. And he goes, great, we'll go to Argentina. Then I said, you know, maybe go to Colorado with my buddies, and we'll all go in a cabin and kick back, pass around a big glass of whiskey and talk about old days and stuff. But then I said, you know, that's going to get boring after one day.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
But I wanted to do something that maybe he hasn't ever done.
Yeah.
And I've always talked about Armenia, how beautiful it is, and I've talked that with you as well. So I said, you know what, why not, let's go to Armenia. He goes, great, I always wanted to go, let's go together. So we're going to go to Armenia early in November. Folks, we're going back to Armenia. Jono's going to Armenia.
It's exciting.
For 1 week here. I don't know what the hell we can do in 1 week, but I'd love to get messages from you guys on anything happening in November. Please send me some info on that. I'd love to have it, and I'd love to see you guys in Armenia as well. What a beautiful country, man.
God.
The people.
Everything about it.
Everything,
the
everything.
The actual, like, the geography, but then, like, the humanity, too.
He asked me, hey, how are the people in Armenia? And I said, okay, you know the movie Lord of the Rings? And he goes, yeah. I go, we're the hobbits. I said, the Armenians are hobbits. They're just friendly.
Nice,
don't
happy,
mess with them.
Yeah.
Don't mess with them. Yeah. They'll kick back and they'll make your life miserable. But in general, they're loving people. They love each other.
Yeah.
I mean, can you? I call them the hobbits.
That's a great description, though.
Yeah, but you know what?
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah, in a good way, the Armenians, to me, are like Lord of the Rings hobbits because they're when they're attacked on, they defend. But when you enter peacefully, they love you. And we're Armenian, and I tell you what, it's good to have a second home like that.
And the hobbits in the movie, they lived in the Shire, which was this incredibly amazing place. It was beautiful. Right.
That's how I thought of it.
It sounded like it
too.
In the book. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what made me think of that there. Speaking of Armenia, the Eurasian Development Bank, known as the EDB. Ever heard of the EDB?
I have not heard of the EDB.
Well, the EDB predicts a 5.4 economic growth for Armenia in 2017. It's the first half right now, and they really like what they're seeing with Armenia.
Solid
and you know,
numbers.
You're seeing that from a country. You're seeing that from a country that doesn't have the big industrial complexes and stuff like that. I mean, you're seeing people starting to work slowly, getting back on their feet again, and all that. But it's a tough system because when you base everything on beauty and the organic look and all this. Nature, it's hard. You're almost sacrificing the world of industrial.
Yeah, no, that's it. And
I mean, it's either one or the other.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. Yeah. Well, but like if you look at those, like just from strictly an economic standpoint, that's an awesome number.
Yeah,
that's a 5.4
is that's a nice
better
growth
than what the U.S. is doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? I'll say this too. For a country to the east of us or to the west of us that we can't stand, they've got a blockade on us.
Yep.
To the country to the east of us that has no, I mean, they're always in a war mode with us, Azerbaijan. And then you have Georgia on top that we try to work things out with them. I mean, it's not like United States where we got Canada and Mexico, and Trump wanting to put a big wall and say no one. By the way, he said he's going to put this wall, and I guess now he wants us to pay for this wall. The whole time it was Mexico paying this wall. And if I was the Mexican president, I'd be looking at him and going, me paying for this wall? What are you thinking? I'm going to pay for this wall? Why would I pay for this wall?
Especially after you just ripped on us for a year.
Yeah. And if I am going to pay for this wall, you know what? You're going to pay for this wall by this tequila that was coming into America for $38. Yeah. Now suddenly became $58.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't want to take pops at him too. But anything new with you, Chris?
No, that's really about it.
Yeah. You know, well, tonight's a big night.
Enjoying being back on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've been on vacation. Yeah. You've been out selling. You've been marketing. This lineup thing, it's really working out, isn't it?
It's really starting to
We got some radio out. Stuff coming around, don't
we? Exciting. A whole streaming radio platform where you're going to be able to hear our show here as well as every other show in a more streaming radio sort of format as well as, you know, Armenian music and you know, a lot of other stuff. So we'll have a whole Armenian station.
24/7.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week of, you know, Armenian shows, Armenian music, Armenian information, everything you can think of Armenian. So.
And it'll be like English, too, to where people...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's one thing about it, man. I'm not kidding. You're going to love this one. There's a taxi driver that my friend in Armenia, they went to Armenia to visit, and he learns his English by listening to the show.
That's awesome.
He listens to the show, and I wish I had his name. I wish he would have got his name because I would have definitely called him and said thank you.
Yeah, well, think about that. I mean, that'll impact him, and we'll stick with him forever.
Right. I mean, just hearing my voice and hearing your voice, Brian's voice, and saying, okay, that's how they say that. That's how that works.
Wow.
And you know what? God bless. That's beautiful, man. I was also going to say that tonight's a big night here. Tonight's a big night for me because have you ever heard of Armenian fantasy football?
No.
Well, we've got our Armenian guys coming over to my house tonight, and we've been doing it for the last – 6, 7, maybe 8 years now. It's all Armenian guys, predominantly mostly Armenian guys, and we're doing it at my house this year. You know how hard it is to try to make a trade with an Armenian guy?
Oh, I bet it.
Oh, my God. He thinks I'm taking his wife, his kids. I'm like, dude, you're one player. I'm giving you my best player. You're giving me your best player. Okay, this is the way things move. Even if I'll give you two of my players for your play. Oh, you're up to something, aren't you? I'm like, no,
he's
man.
Running a scam on him.
Yeah, right. He's looking at me like things are going... like I'm trying to snake bite them or something like that. But tonight it's going to be interesting. They're all coming to my house. We had one Lebanese guy. I didn't know if he was Muslim or not. He's in the league. So I got all this pork kebabs and all that. So I went out and I brought all this other steak meat that I'm going to kebab for him too. Even... even the sausages, I looked at it to see if it had pork, chicken. I want all beef. And guess what? Yeah, 2 days ago, he calls and says, I don't think I want to be in this league anymore. I'm telling you,
man.
All
this work,
all
to
this work for
him.
You.
Jesus.
And by the way, I love pork. I'm Armenians, I tell you what, we make the best pork kebabs around. Shish kebabs are unbelievable. Man. Last night, I had my friend Garik over. And Garik, I'll tell you
I've
what.
I met Garik. He's
oh,
a nice
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. And Garik just dug in there. He threw the paprika. Oh, by the way, I didn't have paprika, and I was low on black pepper. And he's tight on time. And what does he do? He goes, let's go. Let's hop in the car. Let's go. And I'm like, why? Well, he goes, we need the paprika. I go, is it that serious to have the paprika?
It
he goes,
be.
We can't do this without the paprika. I'll go home. So, and he makes, I'm telling you right now, I know I'm going to piss people off on this, my Armenian buddies, but I think Garik makes the best pork kebabs I've ever eaten. I'm not the.
Wow.
That's a big statement.
That's a big statement, isn't it?
Because every time I eat his, I find no fault at all. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. The texture, everything is just delicious. Mm. So, I think Garik's, he just. Made me crave for his kebabs already. But he's coming over today at 4, and I'm gonna be over. I got one barbecue going upstairs. He's got the other barbecue going downstairs. So
imagine how good that smells during
that. God, it's gonna be great. He's got the pork going. I got the burgers going. I got inside. I got ribs in a slow cooker going. And in a big boiler, I'm going to have shrimp with corn and potatoes all boiling together, Cajun style.
That sounds fantastic.
It's going to be unbelievable, and I hope the guys really enjoy it. Anything else happening here? We covered that. I think that's about it, buddy. I tell you what, our ladies are doing interviews. Mariam and Anoush are doing some cooking and wine segments now. They're combining it together, and that's going pretty good.
Hybrid group there.
Yeah, and you know what? It's perfect blend. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
It is.
By the way, peanut butter and jelly, you can't have that at kids' school anymore.
I know. The allergies.
I grew up on peanut butter and jelly. When I went to school, I always, my mom said, what do you want? I had peanut butter jelly. I mean, it's almost like taking Americana away.
It's amazing all the allergy stuff, though. Like, how all of a sudden are so many people allergic to this kind of stuff?
Yeah. And then we have the whole eclipse thing going on at Monday.
That's pretty crazy, huh?
And this is the thing about it. This is what I argued with Brian about. And if Brian wants to chime in on this, he's more than welcome. But I brought this up. I said, hey, you know, this whole thing about going blind, okay? I'm not going to look at it, but let me tell you this. During the 1400s or 1500s, whenever this full eclipse was, not partial where it's complete, but I'm saying when this happened last, I don't think a whole city or a whole town became blind because they all looked at it.
Yeah.
They all had to take a look at it.
I do have, yeah.
And I mean, like, hey, there's a black, there's something going on here with the sun here. There's something black.
Work.
And I guarantee if you're Armenian, you're going, Pamas, still good luck. I guarantee you, the Armenians were looking at that going, hey, something's up. And they didn't all go blind. All right. You want your rebuttal?
Yes, I would like my rebuttal. My point was that not everybody actually looked up at the sun.
Everybody looked up.
The solar eclipses only go for certain periods of time, and people just instinctively do not look at the sun because it will damage your eyes.
I know, but this is a whole eclipse mode. I mean, this is a complete blockage, right?
Yes, but if you can look at the complete total eclipse while it is happening without using the glasses or anything,
right.
When the sun is completely blocked, you can totally look and see it for what it is.
Okay.
The point is, it will damage your eyesight if you stare at the sun.
Okay. So we're banking on the moon right in front of the sun.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen for like 2.5 minutes if you're in the middle.
All right. Are you going to catch that, Chris?
The eclipse?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think so. I don't think I'm going
to. Are we shutting down the damn office or our studio on this one?
I've heard some rumors about this. I don't know.
I've lost all the producers. Yeah. I got to shoot this now because on Monday they're all headed with their Star Trek outfits.
Nanu, nanu.
But yeah, they're all gone, man. They're all checking this out. I hope aliens attack you people. When you're up on that mountain checking this out.
Isolate everyone who's going to look at and just zoom.
Just suck them all
up. What happened?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get to that segment now. Before we do, though, let's give a little shout-out to Amazon. I tell you what, I think I got a call, Chris. I got a call from a family that said they bought an entire outdoor patio.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah that's... They bought it last week, and the week before, I got a friend that called me up. Hey, did you see the slow cooker that I go, no, I didn't see anything like that. He goes, it's just like the one you got, and I bought it on Amazon. I think that they think that, you know, as soon as they buy something, something pops up on my computer, on my laptop, saying they bought
like
something.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, like bells
like
go
a stock
off.
Ticker. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, though, folks. And you could go to ArmeniaProud.com, ArmeniaProud.com, check out all our episodes, and you guys have been, and we're getting some great messages from all you out there. God bless, and thank you so much for listening to our shows. And you know what? On your right-hand side, you got Amazon. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, if you're looking to buy something, why not go through our site first, ArmeniaProud.com, and then you'll see Amazon on your right-hand side. Click that and buy whatever you need. Buy whatever you need and buy whatever you want, and you will not see us anymore. Once you click that, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. So
shop away.
Shop away. And that's a big plug for us. If you guys want to help us out there, that's great. And check out our shows on iTunes, Stitcher. Why don't you give a couple of these too?
Google Play, the RSS
of course.
Feed, all of the above.
Yeah, all the above.
Anywhere where you're able to listen to shows, you can hear it. Just about anywhere you get podcasts.
And you know what, folks? If I share my show with all these Armenian sites out there, just, you know, it's my way of saying thank you. And you guys on Facebook get to listen to my show, too. You know, and I think that's great. Whenever I hear messages being sent to me saying that, hey, we loved your show, they put a big heart on it or something, you know. God, Chris, this is what it's all about. And being Armenian, you know, if I see an Armenian walking down the street, that's something special to me. That guy's special to me. So you know what? That's the way we do with each other. Hey, Brian, do we have the gals set up there? I can't wait to hear from them.
Hello, everyone. Cheers, Madam John.
Cheers, Anush. Toast to Armenia.
Toast to Armenia. Thank you for having me in your beautiful kitchen today. I'm very excited about our segment this week. Tell us more about what we're going to do and what's happening.
Yeah, and thank you for the wine. Got us. Today's recipe is mac and cheese, and it's very gourmet with bacon, blue cheese, Gruyere, caramelized onions, breadcrumbs, thyme. It's very, very gourmet. And it's actually from a book called Mac and Cheese Please by Laura Werlin. Laura is a cookbook writer. She has multiple cookbooks, and her main ingredient is cheese. Her passion is cheese, and she started writing about cheese and then eventually started writing recipes on with cheese. And I'm very excited to interview her and find out a little bit more about her passion.
I'm very excited to try your yummy dish. And for that beautiful dish, we have a wine, a white wine that's going to go with it. It's a white wine from Armenia, blend of four varietals, Chardonnay, Kangoon, Rakatsteli, and Viognier. I have a feeling that it's going to go great with the cheese, and it's going to complement. So without any further ado, let's talk to Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, Mariam. And you?
Good, thank you. We just finished cooking one of your lovely recipes, Mac and Cheese, Please. I love this book.
Thank you.
Thank you for agreeing to do the podcast. I know you were worried you were an Armenian.
Well, it's true. I wasn't so worried that I wasn't Armenian as much as I was worried that that it might not make sense in given what you do, but you made it clear that it really does. So
it does, because Armenians love cheese. We make a meal
from mac and cheese.
Not just mac and cheese, but we have cheese on a table every time we have dinner. We have breakfast, and we have lunch with cheese. I mean, we even make a whole meal with cheese, like cheese, herbs, and watermelon, and flatbread, and that's it. That's
that. Then maybe I am Armenian.
You are.
That doesn't sound foreign to me at all. What kind of cheese? What's Armenian cheese?
There are a few different types. You're probably not familiar, but it's very familiar, very similar to feta cheese.
Feta. So it
very
is
similar. Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's same style. So, hi Laura, I'm Anoush. I'm the wine expert for the segment. We were talking with Mariam about your dish, and we were thinking what wine could go well with it. And because it's an Armenian segment, so we came up with this wine. It's called Karas. And okay. It has, it's a wine from Armenia. It has two indigenous varietals and also two European varietals. It's a Chardonnay, 40% Chardonnay. It's a 10% Viognier. It's a 10% Rakatsteli, which there is some of that planted in United States.
Yeah, and in there, upstate New York, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also there is 40% of Kangoon, and Kangoon is indigenous to Armenia. So.
But the makers are from Argentina.
The owners are Armenian. The winemaker is from Argentina, and the consultant is Michel Roland. And I'm sure you know who it is.
They call him the flying winemaker.
Exactly. So so, anyways, this is my part of the show.
That's,
but Madame
that's
had
her part of the show. Yeah. Yes, I just like to drink. I don't know anything about wines,
and I like to eat.
Well, that's kind of perfect. So I'm curious. I mean, maybe we can talk about this a little later, but I'm curious how you selected a white versus a red for this particular recipe.
Well, I went for the bechamel sauce, for the white sauce. I thought that the Chardonnay will complement it well because of its round flavors. A little bit of the floral notes from Viognier and Kangoon has a good body that gives to it. But at the same time, the Armenian wines have good acidity that will cut through the full flavors and bold from the fatty part of the dish as well.
And
so,
they're not oaky like you would get the Chardonnay here.
Yeah.
They're mild. Yeah.
It's right. I believe it's a not stainless steel, but a concrete vats, made in concrete vats.
Yes, I know what you mean.
So
you get nice mouthfeel from that, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So hopefully this will be a good pair.
with the cheese, I can see it. Yeah, we were trying actually to see if we can pair it with the red, because we already had rosé with the 1600. We had a sparkling wine, which was the French made. Yeah, and then now we wanted to do something red, but we figured that red is just going to be too much with the cheese. So
what we were looking for, what would be your suggestion to go with the dish?
Well, I think what you did was good because, I mean, the only thing that might throw people is the idea that, well, gosh, you know, there's bacon in there, so why isn't there a red wine? But all the other ingredients that you describe, you know, blue cheese, the caramelized onions, the bechamel, as you said, all of those things are going to do much better with a white wine, particularly one like you described where it's got that little bit of Viognier, which has a lot of floral characteristics. And the fact that it's not oaked is really important also because I think oak would taste oakier with all the rest of those ingredients. I think you could also get away with a maybe a sparkling white or rosé.
We just did something similar last time with the mushroom. I don't know if you've heard of it. Maybe you can do a mac and cheese with that. It's called Julienne. It's with chicken, and well, we didn't use chicken, but it's with sour cream or cream
and cheese
mushrooms. You probably have that already.
Well, it sounds a lot like mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So you know that So then you know, obviously, the sparkling. You know, the bubbles will cut through the richness, which is always a nice thing. But I think it sounds like what you've chosen is a really great selection. So I guess you'll find out and you can let me know.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about you. And how do you get inspired? I mean, where does this ideas come from? These are very exotic mac and cheeses in here. I mean, I didn't think of a lot of the stuff and I'm like, oh, wow. I didn't know this can be a mac and cheese. But how do you get into it?
Well, you know, so I mean that the mac and cheese book is my sixth one on, you know, about cheese. And what I recognized when I wrote my first, you know, two of my other books are on grilled cheese. And what I realized when I wrote those books is that really grilled cheese and mac and cheese are kind of blank canvases for anything else that you like to eat as long as there's cheese involved. Yeah. And obviously, you know, with mac and cheese, you're using noodles and other, you know, that's sort of the base. And then you go from there. And what I realized is that a lot of things lent themselves as unusual as some of them sound, you know, to essentially to mac and cheese. And that's why I created, you know, breakfast for dinner chapter, because we wouldn't normally think of mac and cheese for breakfast or for brunch or whatever. But
I saw that.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun, you know, and you can sort of kind of, you know, when you put poached eggs on top of this whole mixture, I mean, I will be the first to tell you it's extremely decadent. So this is not diet food, but but it's, you know, a little goes a long way at the same time.
And
so
we did mention it. It's not, you don't want to make this every day, but when you make it, don't cut any corners because it's really good. You want to have full body. You want to have full fat. You don't want to have all that.
Well, I did create a lower fat chapter also because people, you know, where you can cut corners, I think people prefer to. And you know, subsequent to writing that book, I learned what turned out to be an age-old trick for lowering the fat in mac and cheese, but somehow it wasn't on my radar, and that's to use evaporated milk. Mm-hmm. And you know, it works pretty well. It's not a bad thing. I used low-fat milk instead, but you know, that wasn't a bad way to go. But generally speaking, I believe in, you know, getting full flavor. And, you know, and trying, that's the key word, to eat a little less of it because, yeah, a little does go a long way.
Yes, definitely. I agree. So yeah. I know that I was reading about you and you didn't start writing cookbooks originally. You started writing about cheese. So how did that lead you to write?
Well, when I started writing about cheese, it was when I wrote my first book, which was a cookbook called The New American Cheese. Prior to that, I had been a food writer. But not, I hadn't written about cheese. And only shortly before writing about cheese had I become a food writer. Prior to that, I was in television news. And that's what I did since college. So then I left that to become a food writer because that was where my passion had shifted. I had loved TV news while I was in it, but I got tired of it. And so I shifted to food writing. And then shortly after that shift, started writing about not just cheese, but American artisan cheese, because that's where I felt like, you know, that was where things were happening. And that was, you know, a long time ago. That was my first book came out in 2000. So that was 17 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I purchased this book after that food and wine festival that I met you. And she was so nice. I posted our photo. We took photo. I insisted. And then I posted and then she replied and I didn't think she would reply. But then we kept in touch. Yeah, and I sent her my cookbook, and I got the best review from her. Thank you for that. She said it's straight from your heart. It's great. And this book was just like, I got to get this book because, like I said, my son loves mac and cheese. But when I opened this book, I mean, I was like, I don't think this is for him. I think this is more for me.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I've come to learn that kids still prefer the boxed kind, if that's what
that.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Yeah, they do. You know, simpler flavors, or maybe the other way you go about it, it's just marketing. So you don't tell them it's mac and cheese. You just tell them, oh, I made something new for dinner, and you never mention the words mac and cheese, and maybe they'll like it. But no, you know, sort of more uncomplicated food, I think, is preferable for most kids, or many kids anyway. There are the occasional exceptions. And also, you know, for adults, this one, I mean, I'll be the first to acknowledge that the recipes in this book, some can be pretty complicated, and or at least not so complicated as they are time consuming. But what I realized when I was writing the book is that when you learn the basics of making mac and cheese, It really, the more you do it, the easier it gets. It becomes second nature, just making that sauce, making the noodles, putting it all together. It's really not that hard. But at first, it's a little more, you know, complicated than it eventually becomes if you, you know, once you get a little practice.
Yeah, and then if you prep it early on, it does make it easier. And as you said, the base is so easy. You can just make the base. And another thing is that you can always have all the stuff that you have in this mac and cheese could be left over from the night before, like bacon or from the, you know, morning, or the onions, caramelized onions. You can make a little bit more when you're doing something else. So it doesn't really have to be that complicated, or the mushrooms or the other stuff. So
you're absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, one or two of my recipes call for chicken. And so you can make the chicken, right then and there. In fact, one of them you sort of need to. It's for my, I have one, it's a buffalo mac and cheese, spicy buffalo mac and cheese with crispy chicken skin on top. And so that one's one of the more time consuming ones, but boy, the payoff is, yeah, I think it's there, and other people seem to think so too. But there you cook the chicken right then, you know, chicken breasts, and then you roll it in some of the Frank's hot sauce, which is, or any kind of hot sauce that you can find. But anyway, that's the whole idea with that one. But generally, you can use leftovers, like you said, or prepare them ahead of time for a lot of these recipes.
What do you call it in French? You said the prepare ahead of time?
Mise en place.
Mise en place. She said something. I don't. Mise en place.
Mise en place is just the prep that you put together. When you have all the ingredients in separate little containers or whatever, that's everything you need for the recipe. Yeah, you explained that Anish, to her.
Yeah, she said, this is what you have. And I said, okay, I didn't know the terminology, but that's what I have.
Oh, well, good. You're just a natural born cook then.
Yeah, exactly. I have a question. I was looking also through information about you, and it says that you were in Los Angeles, but now you live in Santa Rosa?
No. No, I was raised in Santa Monica, but I have lived in the Bay Area for a long time. I live in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know where Santa Rosa came from, but
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, you have a lot of food and wine events.
Yeah,
that was one of the could be. Are you having any in Los Angeles? Pretty. I mean.
No.
No. In the future?
No, I don't have anything scheduled at the moment. No, the closest I'm going to get, which isn't close, is Santa Fe. I'll be there the last week of September. But otherwise, no, I'm afraid I don't. Not right now, anyway.
Have you tried, you said that you were writing Food Network. Have you ever tried to be on Food Network with your recipes? Because it's interesting. It's a very interesting recipe. I mean, all of them are very interesting. I would think somebody would reach out to you.
Well, thank you. Actually, what's funny is that when the Food Network was first getting going, they had a live one-hour show called Sarah Moulton Live. And that was in 2000. Do you know that, Anoush? Do you know that?
I know. I mean, I've watched her show, Sarah Moulton shows, and I've kind of started watching Food Network from the beginning. So I do remember.
I don't know.
The,
yeah. Well, so she did this show. It was a call-in show. I mean, it was so novel at the time. It was kind of amazing. And so I was on that show with her, and it was really the second show I'd ever done. The first show I did was Martha Stewart. So I got, you know, a sort of trial by fire in both cases. But to do live 1 hour national show was, well, Sarah is just so good that she made me feel immediately comfortable. But, you know, the Food Network has changed in the sense that a lot of it, you know, they created the Cooking Channel so that there would be more serious focus on cooking. And the Food Network itself was a little more reality show based for the most part, or celebrity or both, you know. But I've been interviewed for it for different shows for sure. And I was a guest on Top Chef during its first season. So I've certainly done these things, but not my own shows.
Not your own show. Okay.
Right.
But you have.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would think so, that you had something to do with that, because all of these recipes and the wine knowledge that you have, because I can see that you pretty much know a lot that, you know, Anush knows. Cheese, wine, I guess, goes hand in hand. So, yeah, well, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, any other books, any new books, any new adventures coming?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. The short answer is no, but the longer answer is hopefully yes. In fact, that's what I'm going to be doing this afternoon, is writing the next book proposal. So we'll see. But for now, really what I do is I just, I go around the country educating people by giving these, you know, what I think are interactive seminars, in the sense that everybody gets cheese and everybody gets wine, and I take them kind of on a tasting journey, telling the stories of the cheeses and of the wines as we go. And so that's, and it's my way of bringing cheese to not just to a bunch of people, but also to make it understandable to people, because it's kind of intimidating when you walk into whether it's a Whole Foods or a cheese shop or whatever it is, where there are a lot of cheeses. Most people don't know where to start. And so I kind of take it upon myself as best I can to teach people how to navigate that cheese counter and how to have really enjoyable cheese experiences at home. And one of the ways of doing that is certainly through cooking, not just having a party where you have cheese and wine, but what you're doing, you know, with the mac and cheese and any number of cheese or of dishes that where cheese can be part of it. I try to bring that home too.
Oh, that's great. That sounds
wonderful. One question I didn't ask was, I wanted to ask, is where did you get your inspiration for cheese? Like, where is it, as a little girl, you loved eating cheese, or it's just, you know, the process?
Bingo.
Bingo.
Yeah. No, that's really what it was. I loved it. From my earliest food memories are cheese. And I actually wrote about this in my first book, about how I used to dream about it when I was in college. But part of the reason was because I had gone on a diet. I had gained quite a lot of weight, not because of cheese. And so I went on a diet, and I literally dreamed about cheese. And so what I did was I kept I kept cheese basically in my dorm room. And that was my little treat every night after being so good all day on my diet, which I was good, but I would often be hungry. So I'd have a little piece of cheese and an apple, and I was happy.
Well, everything in moderation is good, and cheese is good for you.
Well, for sure. Yeah. Moderation is key, and I didn't know that then at age 19, you know, the freshman 15 or whatever.
I don't either. When I start eating cheese, moderation goes off the roof. I don't know. I forget about that.
Well, the better the cheese, I believe, the better the cheese that one chooses, the more the moderation is just there, is built in, because it's rich and it's, you know, you can only eat so much, I think, for me anyway, but it's different for everybody.
Yeah. Well, are we good on time?
I love cheese. I would love to be present at one of your seminars or one of your events where you talk cheese and pair it with wine. That would be an amazing opportunity. I don't think I can make it to Santa Fe, but if anything comes up in Los Angeles, I'll just make sure that, or we'll make sure.
Yeah, we'll make sure we'll come this time.
We'll come
for sure.
After
this podcast, we might have a lot of people asking for it.
Oh, I'm sure. It's,
yeah. Well, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm so happy, thankful to Mariam for this opportunity to get to know you. to learn about the beautiful mac and cheese. It's my absolute favorite, one of my absolute favorite dishes. Coming to U.S., it was number one, and I loved it so much.
Yeah,
so,
and the cover, it's so gourmet. Great. It has those little, I always thought, I didn't know what they used this for when I saw it in a sur la table. Yeah, the little
croquettes.
Yeah, so now I know what it is for, and I can buy a couple of them, just use it to entertain.
Well, it's also good for onion soup fondue, where you do onion soup and then a little crostini with cheese on top.
Oh, that's true.
And then put it in the broiler.
That's the next one. That's the next
one. Yeah, that's pretty darn good, too. Yeah, and that's a fun one to pair with wine or beer.
Oh, beer, yeah.
That's a red wine, I'm thinking.
It could go either way, can it?
I think so. Again, because... Well, onions are sweet, but you often use a beef broth to make onion soup. So, you know, it could, I wouldn't say a super tannic red wine, but, you know, like a new, not a super big one, but something a little dialed back, I think would do just fine.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever tried pomegranate wine?
I have not. No.
I need to make sure to send one to
There's
you.
A pomegranate semi-sweet, right?
It's a semi-sweet wine,
Semi-sweet wine, yeah. That's also from Armenia, and Whole Foods has.
Very adventurous, yeah. Armenia is going through a revival of the wine industry. The history of winemaking dates 6,100 years back, and they found this cave in Adani, which actually dates to the first official winemaking facility. Since then, a lot of things have changed, but about 8 years ago is a lot of foreign investment. Armenians, which have made their fortunes outside, came back and reinvested in the industry, and it has slowly is living through its revival. So
they're not mass producers.
We're very excited. Yeah, excited.
I'm excited because I know her. She has wine for me all the time.
Yeah,
good friend to have. That works out.
So anyways, I guess I'm a lot of questions for now.
Well, I just want to thank you again for agreeing for the podcast. This was fun actually making it, and you'll see. I don't know if you were watching the live show, we had a couple people actually first time tuning in asking questions. This is our third one doing it.
Good
so we had good interactions. The mac and cheese was the secret.
Well, that's whatever it takes. No, that's terrific. Maybe it's just word is catching on. Well, I can't wait to hear how the pairing goes for you. Well, first of all, I hope you like the mac and cheese. And second of all, I hope you like the pairing.
I think we are going to like it because I can smell it right now. Uh-huh. I can smell. I don't know if it makes any difference, but
it does.
You can, yeah.
The most part of the tasting comes from the smelling.
The smell, yeah. And I can see that. And it's going to perfectly match with the wine, I think. Mm. We'll see.
Okay, well, make sure to let me know.
We will. Well, we wish you were here. You didn't get with us, but
next time. That makes three of us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You have a great, well, the summer's over.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever's left of it.
Great rest of the summer.
Yeah. Okay, you too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Laura.
Bye.
Wow, that turned out really, really delicious. It was very rich and very savory, and it went really well with the wine that you chose. And that's so great that she actually approved your wine. It was really, it was not oaky, and it really complemented well. So you did a great job on choosing the wine.
Thank you very much. Yes, the dish was delicious. It was full of flavors. Beautiful mac and cheese would be fun for any festivities, birthday, New Year, any celebration. And the wine really went well. And yes, Laura said that it was a good choice. It was a good decision. So thank you so much, Mariam, for making that yummy food. Thank you, Laura, for being on the podcast and being part of the Armenia Proud. We're very excited and looking forward to trying more of your recipes and pairing with more Armenian wines. And thank you, Mariam John, for having me here.
Anush.
All right. Cheers, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Well, Chris, what a great show we had, babe.
Another good one in the books.
Yeah. That was interesting, and everything worked out. And wish me all the luck tonight against my Armenian comrades.
Enjoy all the food.
They're gonna try to blackball me.
You may end up with no one on your team.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, folks, take care. We love you. And one more shout out out there that I don't want to forget. And our thoughts and our prayers for all the Armenian soldiers out there that, you know, we've had a couple that we lost last week. And our deepest prayers go out to all the families that were affected by the ISIS attack that took 13 lives and over 100 injured when Man. They plot through people in Barcelona. And you know what? Those people are on vacation. They're tourists. Well, what the hell's wrong with you?
It's insane.
Insane. Insanity. And I'm glad my little world, my little hobbit land is safe and secure. And God bless Armenia. God bless America. God bless everyone out there. I'd like to give one more shout out there. Maybe we could do this too on a weekly basis. Come up with some site on Facebook that I just want to give a little plug out to. Yeah. And I like to give a little shout out to my Armenians in Jordan. My Armenians in Jordan that are they download my show, they love the show, and they give a big like when I put it on Facebook. I'll start it off with those guys, and thank you so much, my Armenians in Jordan that are so appreciative of the show. We
that's
love
awesome.
You.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And one honorable mention, I'll always have them as honorable mention right now, and that's all my Syrian Armenians out there. You know what? We love you, and we know what you've went through. And I guess I don't know what you've went through, but we know your hardship. And you know what? If we could do anything to help out, you know what? We're all Armenians. If you see an Armenian that needs help out there, folks, give them a hand. Give them a hand because that we're a small nation with not too many, and we need to always support one another. So from Chris, Jono, Brian, we're out of here. Genatsit kisher party, my friends.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jono Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/armeniaproud or Twitter at armeniaproud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.